Good afternoon, everybody. This is the Reverend Blake Ruby from San Antonio, Texas. All you terrestrials and extraterrestrials out there. Well, some of you might be in a spacecraft orbiting the Earth, maybe behind the moon, different places throughout the universe. Welcome. You know me. I talk about spirituality probably on the subject of spirituality, that is. A lot more than your regular earthling. And why is that? I don't know. It might have something to do with evolution. Problem is, I can't remember how many past lives I've had. Because why? Did you know that we were made to forget when we were born into this world? Made to forget. We went through what is known as the River of Oblivion, which is like a veil that covers up the knowledge of our past lives and also wipes out any access to universal knowledge and anything related to the spirit realms. Well, I'm getting a small snack on the go here while I'm having my show. Done that before. Hope you don't mind. And today I woke up and we had, give me just a couple of minutes, just a few seconds here. Hold on, please. I got to move. Okay, I'm back. I was thinking, I had to close the door. My wife, she's going out to a restaurant, and I'm here by myself. I'm in our room, bedroom, broadcasting to you from west, southwest, actually, San Antonio. So back to what I was saying. We are born into this world. Can you remember when you were born? I can't. I can remember when I was 2 years old. Now, some people, I think they can remember around that early or perhaps even earlier. I talked with somebody recently that said they remembered when they were sitting in a baby chair. Well, kind of, that could have been all the way up to 2 years old, maybe even older than that. Anyway, I woke up this morning and I was the leader, if you will, of a Toastmasters Learning Institute. Toastmasters, for those of you that don't know, is a public speaking organization. And that's what we do. We practice our public speaking skills. And it was a three-hour class, if you will, a series of classes all together. I was in charge of it. I've been organizing it, coordinating it for weeks now, and it went off very smoothly. We had a lot of really good instructors there, and so that is now in the past. It was a source of concern for me because I wanted everything to go well, and it did, but sometimes these events have a history of Murphy's Law. Anything that could go wrong does go wrong. Previous ones we've had here in the district here in San Antonio have not gone well because sometimes you don't have people showing up on the day of the event to instruct their class. Sometimes you don't have people who are well prepared enough. But it went well today. Oh, I wish, changing the subject, I wish we could make contact with extraterrestrials out there in my lifetime. Don't you ever feel that way, my friends, yourself? Don't you know that would take us to a new step in our evolution? And they're out there. I guarantee it. They are out there. The universe is a very large place. Just like having war here. Like we've had war throughout the centuries here on planet Earth. People have war because they lack the intellect to resolve their differences peacefully. That's the truth. They lack the intellect. Also, it's the same with extraterrestrials. We haven't been able to make contact with extraterrestrials because humanity as a whole lacks the intellect to raise that itself to a higher level, raise itself to a higher level. I don't want to say anything offensive, because I know how we pride ourselves on our intelligence, don't we? And there are a lot of very brilliant people out there, gifted, beautiful souls, indeed. But life here on planet Earth is very difficult. It's one of the hardest schools, if you will, in the University of the Universe. How does that sound? I got to take a drink of water occasionally. And I just did. And the universe of the universe, planet Earth, is a jewel of a planet, well known throughout the universe. But unfortunately, it is a Category 1 planet. Now, what does that mean? It means that it's a planet of sorrows. Does that ring a bell with anybody? A planet of sorrows means just what it says. There's been so much war and killing in our past. People depressed, anxious, have PTSD. And it's because we're living on a planet. Earth is not our home, my friends. We come from the origin. Let me put it this way. We were born on the sun. Born on the sun. How does that sound? That sounds pretty cool to me. Because we are spirits in the material world. Our spirits in the material world. The Police made that song back in 1981. And they were well ahead of their time. A very brave song to sing about back then. We've come a long way since then. But a lot of these bands, the music back then, they were way ahead of their time. It's because, like the Beatles, just think of all those songs that they put together, a string of hits in the early 60s, one after the other. Because when they had that instrument, that guitar or the drumsticks in their hands, they had access to a kind of universal knowledge, if you will. And I just mentioned, we don't have access to universal knowledge like we did before we were born in this world, when we existed in the spirit realms. We can't remember, but we were made to forget. That's why we can't remember. But we can think about it. We can reflect on it. We can have introspection. We can deliberate. We can ponder that we were at one time a pure spirit living in the spirit world, a world of light. You know any worlds of light in our solar system? The spirit itself, which is inside our bodies, is made of electrons, millions and millions of electrons, like individual cells. And what is the brain of the spirit, you ask? The soul. Is a light. It's a little bit of the light of the supreme creator of the universe put inside of our spirits. And it lights up our entire spirit. It's like a light bulb shining. Let's say you are born into this world with a 60 watt light bulb intensity of a soul, just as an example. And your objective, being here in the school of planet Earth, this very special and difficult, and I emphasize the word difficult, learning environment, is to increase the light of your soul. And how do you do that, you ask? Through things like listening to shows on BBS radio, including mine, looking at videos on YouTube about extraterrestrial phenomena, Astral Legends, ASTRAL, Legends TV, near-death experiences, reading books. There's a ton of books out there on people who have had encounters with God and Jesus and angels and been in heaven. Heaven, oh, what a subject that is. Think about that movie, Heaven is for Real. Colton Burpo, the three-year-old who had a near-death experience. It's been happening throughout our centuries here on planet Earth. Near-death experiences happen all the time. I would venture to say there are thousands happening each day. And yet people don't believe these people. We need to believe them. We need to have more trust in our fellow human beings. Yes, there are some people that are out to get us, out to fool us, take our money. But there are other people, not a great, honest, decent, loving people out there who need to be trusted. And Plato, think back, way back to ancient Greece times, the great philosophers they had back then, and including Plato, who had a near-death experience all those centuries ago. But it took a three-year-old to have near-death experience, a near-death experience, for people to notice, well, wait a second. I thought to myself, if a three-year-old has a near-death experience and then relates it afterwards, meeting his sister who was miscarried in heaven, she came up to him and was hugging him, saying that she died in their mother's tummy. Or meeting his father's father, the grandfather, who looked young, like age 30 mold, and that's what most people look like in heaven, age 30 mold. Because why? Because the figure, the spirit is configuring. The spirit is configuring. You can do a lot of things just by thinking about it. And that's the main method of communication in the spirit realm, telepathy, my friends. And it's more than that, though. It's a transfer of emotions and intent when you get to the spirit world, because you leave the five senses behind, the physical body. You pop out, whether to the top of the head or the chest, if you're pulled out by an angel or a deceased relative, and then you're taken. Sometimes you could be taken in a chariot, driven by an angel, maybe even Archangel Gabriel. And I've already put in a special request for that to happen to me. There's no more highly esteemed or beautiful way to get to heaven, my friends, all those miles away, that world of light in our solar system, than in the chariot of Archangel Gabriel or some other angel leading, driving that chariot, if you will. They're beautiful machines, if you can call them a machine. They are like a car, if you will. Very quiet. They run on some mysterious power, maybe related to gravity. And when you get to heaven, when we get to heaven, we will see that chariots are everywhere. Just imagine that. I'm going to take a drink. There are roadways everywhere in heaven. And if you really want to learn, my friends, about heaven, may I recommend the best book out there? Would you be interested in learning where you're going to go? Isn't that the smart thing to do? And it's all about being smart and getting smarter each day. That's how we're going to make contact with extraterrestrials. And we're getting up. We are. I give everyone credit, including myself out there, for the progress we've made over the last 150 so years, the Industrial Revolution, the increase in our technology. We have some amazing technology right now, but nothing compared to extraterrestrial civilizations who have been traveling throughout the universe for hundreds of millions of years, even before the Milky Way galaxy was created, even before our solar system was created. Or not in that order, our solar system and the Milky Way galaxy was created. Back to heaven. Just imagine, if you will, a world just like this here on Earth, with mountains and valleys and rivers and oceans even. Yes, yes, yes. And trees, beautiful trees, mostly the trees with fruit on them called the trees of life. They are predominantly everywhere, scattered throughout the regions. And then, of course, the beautiful, happy souls of heaven who don't have to worry about eating and having that food, even though we can't eat in heaven. As a spirit, we can eat. We can eat that fruit. We can eat vegetables that are grown in the fields, the wheat fields there, bread. I don't think, but I don't have a lot of knowledge on this particular subject, that we continue to eat meat. I don't think we eat meat or fish in heaven, but we are satisfied with what they give us to eat. From what I've heard, we have feasts there, tables that are furlongs long, huge tables. They're able to seat 10,000 people, celebrations all the time. And what are we celebrating in heaven? We're celebrating the creation that's out there, the miracle, my friends, of creation. Think about it. Nothing had to exist at all from the very beginning, when the Supreme Creator, who I love very much, and I know you do too, out there, when the Creator initiated the Big Bang and the universe began forming itself one solar system at a time and one galaxy at a time, the Creator is omniscient and omnipotent. Just think about it. A magical being who is out there and able to do anything, anywhere, because the universe is his, hers. The Creator is both male and female. Make no mistake about that, my friends. The universe is male and female. The only reason that we talk about it being predominantly male here in this world nowadays and in the past is because of the domination of men over women, which is hard to believe considering that our mothers raise us, right? They carry us in their wombs for 9 months. And then raise us and change our diapers, shape and mold us into the beings we become. And then only just recently, if you noticed that, and you have noticed that they are only now just getting their rights. They only had the right to vote back in the 1920s, right? And now equality has been a big issue with women having the same equality as men, the same pay. And I am torn, my friends, I'll say right now, branching off into a side subject, which I do. And I was eating lunch today with my wife at a Mexican restaurant. And my wife said, I thought so. We got our dog outside. Give me a few seconds to let the dog in, please. Hi, Goldie. Goldie is our American Pit Bull Terrier. She's a beautiful dog. Just like her name implies, she's golden in color, mostly brownish gold. Anyway, my wife said, you mean to sit there and tell me you're not going to vote for Kamala Harris? Well, I like Donald Trump. I've talked about this on previous radio shows. I see the good in him. He puts a smile on my face. And you can't really blame anybody or you really can't blame him for attacking people, because they're always attacking him. So it's back and forth, one side attacking the other. You never know who's telling the truth. They say he's a liar. He says they're liars. I'm more inclined, personally, in my opinion, to believe him, because he's that kind of a person to me that's likable. I like everybody. I try to like everybody. But then again, on the other hand, I recognize that it would be good to have a woman president. You know, we need, here in America, a woman president. We need more female leadership throughout the world. That is one way we're going to make contact with extraterrestrials. That's one way we're going to have less war and fighting and killing in a more female-dominated society or civilization throughout the world. Women are not so reluctant to send their sons and daughters off to war to fight a needless war, a senseless war, because men in the past and even nowadays, case in point, Ukraine and the Gaza Strip there, it was men that started these wars. And why? Because of that ego, the quest for power and authority, the lack of love, or not having a better way to put it, my friends. Our mothers raise us, right? They love us. We came from their body. They cherish us. They feed us. They take care of us. Hold on. I'm going to have to close the door again. Hold on, please. I try not to be distracted during my radio show. My wife left to get some dinner with the family. Somebody didn't leave, and they just opened the door out there. Anyway, so our mothers should be revered for carrying us in their wombs. Imagine, if you're a man, think about having a baby grow inside of you in your abdominal area. And women do that, carry a baby for 9 months. And a baby, on the subject of babies, now, some people out there are pro-choice and pro-life. Do you know that there have been more babies? I'm going to get off on a kind of a tangent here. That more babies have been aborted and killed than people that have died in wars throughout the history of our world. Well, that's a lot of babies who usually have a soul and a spirit in them, like we had in our body as a baby growing up in our mother's womb for 9 months. The soul and the spirit comes into the body of a human baby fetus at any time from conception, but usually when there's a body, you know, not before that, when the egg implants itself in the uterus and begins to grow and the heart starts beating after 22 days, I think that's mainly the time that the spirit and soul will come and inhabit the body all the way up until the time of exiting the womb at 9 months, or sometimes even before then. That's when the soul and the spirit. So you're not only dealing with a body, a physical body in the womb that may be aborted or miscarried, but you're also dealing with a spirit and a soul that came from heaven, or the spirit realms, if you will, orchestrated by a higher power that knows the future and the past, an omniscient power that's in charge. Our mother and father God in heaven have become co-creator gods in the universe of the supreme creator. That was the plan, that there would be solar systems commanded by co-creator gods. Our mother and father God and the angels in heaven orchestrate that. And there are heavenly computers that will coordinate the lives of people in advance, everything that will happen, the family that they'll have, the friends that they will meet, the people that they will encounter, the actions they'll have, even up until the time that the day of their birth, can all be previewed while in heaven. It's an amazing concept of predetermination that is hard to comprehend, and I still can't quite grasp it. But suffice it to say that when we are in the womb of our mother, so also is the spirit and the soul, which has a new dimension when you talk about taking the body, a baby body, out of the mother before it is born and destroying it. Did you know that the spirit and the soul of a baby in the mother's womb can actually look through the mother's eyes? How did I learn that, you ask? There's a very interesting book called The Soul's Remembrance, if you're interested to find out. It's a book by Roy Mills, and he talks about how we existed before we were born. There's a realm there that you have a lot of spirits that are waiting to come to Earth, because it's a very special learning environment, and a lot of spiritual development can be achieved here on Earth because it is so difficult. And we do, as I was mentioning before, learn to increase the lamp of our soul, the light of our soul, Because indeed, when we get to heaven, when we are in heaven, we're all shining with different levels of intensity of light. Different levels of light intensity, my friends. Think about it. And when you come face to face with the Mother and Father God and Jesus who died on the cross and the disciples and the patriarchs of the Bible and other great people that have existed here on planet Earth throughout the centuries, from different cultures even, because there is no religion in heaven. I'm going to take a drink. There's only worship of all creation, my friends. Creation. And heaven is such a beautiful place. We should all be striving to get there. Not everyone gets there immediately, shall I say. There are some detours. Hell, otherwise known as God's jail. Purgatory. Above the clouds, there's another realm. The lowest heaven, the highest heaven is 93 million miles away. It's a world of light. But look into that world with me. As we get close, let's say that you're riding the chariot of an angel to get to heaven, or maybe traveling down a tunnel to that light at the end of the tunnel. Guess what that light is? I just told you. The tunnel is actually when you lose the five, excuse me, I'm going to take another drink. When you lose the five senses, physical senses, my friends, you're floating in kind of a space-like environment. Mobile, light as air. That's what the spirit is. Sometimes you have the shape of a body. Other times it could be just an orb of light. And you gravitate through some magnetic power, either forwards or backwards, to the source of your creation, the place where you were born, that world of light. And when you get there, you will see, as I mentioned, the place just like planet Earth. But the colors are more intense, very, very bright. Everywhere. And there are some colors that we don't even have here on Earth. And look around, you'll see angels everywhere. And when you see them, there will be a remembering of having known them before. And some very close soul family will greet you perhaps when you pass over to the other side, cross over. And there will be a remembering. Because when you've shaken loose the shackles of this earthly life, my friends, and you'll see where you were before you came to Earth all those years ago, before you were born, before you were put into your mother's womb by an angel. Now, on the subject of abortion, I know that the mothers have to make a very difficult decision. They're the ones that have to live with the baby in their wombs for 9 months. But the value of life is increasing as we speak daily. And we have evolved over the recent past to now where life is becoming more valuable, and there's still a long way to go. Life is so precious, my friends. And a baby, think like a miscarried baby, and heaven is for real. The baby that died, as he said, in their mother's womb, in the mother's tummy, that spirit popped out of that body and was continuing to grow in heaven and wait for another opportunity to be born or to be put back in another baby fetus in another mother's womb for an opportunity to be born in this world. And believe it or not, there's a lot of desire to be born here, because the learning is so hard and so special. We can achieve great spiritual development. The learning still continues on there in the heavenly realm, in heaven, but there's nothing like incarnating on another planet somewhere to continue your spiritual development and your soul's evolution, that journey, that process of reincarnation to become a co-creator God. That's why I've said before, and it's in my website and BBS Radio TV, that we are co-creator gods in the making. And if you don't already understand that, consider this. If you were to die, do you have the potential think about, I'm not trying to be morbid in any way, but if we have the potential to die within the next second or 20, 30, 40 years down the road, then you are a co-creator God in the making. If you have a brain and a heart that beats independently of your will, then you are a co-creator God in the making. And we will all cross over to the other side one day. It's pretty frightening to think about it, yet we're told not to fear death. That's a very natural process, but the way I look at it, every day here on planet Earth is a gift. It's a blessing. And to breathe the air of this world, the beautiful, wonderful, fresh air, and to see the creation here on Earth, all the different types of life, all the insects, beautiful insects with minds of their own, capable of traveling where they want to go, with eyes that see and wings that propel their bodies through the air where they want to go, metabolisms, able to reproduce. And the fish in the ocean, seas, and rivers and lakes, over 30,000 different types, over 10,000 types of birds. Think of the different colors of feathers and different sizes and the different shapes and colors of beaks and hummingbirds and eagles and cranes and storks and vultures and hawks and falcons and all the different types of birds that we have in our front yard that we feed on our feeder, cardinals and sparrows, red-winged blackbirds, grackles, blackbirds, bluebirds, over 10,000 types of reptiles, those snakes that can be very dangerous to us, some that are poisonous and will ruin our day if they bite us, you know, and poisonous spiders and insects as well, and 9,000 types of amphibians and 5,000 types of mammals, you know, especially a lot that live in the oceans and seas. All that life here on planet Earth, that's why it is such a jewel of the universe, because the extraterrestrials out there recognize it for what it is. It is a beautiful piece of creation, my friends, a cobalt blue world floating in outer space, traveling at thousands of miles an hour, revolving around the center of the Milky Way galaxy, rotating on its axis at about 600 miles an hour, a beautiful power that is in effect moving it, that we know very little about. We call it words, gravity, what have you, but we know very little about that power. And just think of it, the power that revolves the planets around the sun in our solar system alone is the same power that revolves planets around the suns of other solar systems and rotates them on their axes. And the whole universe is held into existence by the might of this power. Talk about a power, huh? That's able to do that, revolve a planet. You know how big planet Earth is? 8,000 miles in diameter, I think. A huge place. And yet we're not the biggest planet in our solar system. Jupiter is. There's a power out there we know very little about. That same power, you could say, is the one that's running the show and sending souls and spirits here to planet Earth to live lives. A power that's in control, that has everything under control, but is also limited, if you will, by giving us what we know as free will. It's like in the movies, Bruce Almighty and Evan Almighty, remember those movies? And God, played by Morgan Freeman, told Jim Carrey and Bruce Almighty that one thing you can't do is that you can't interfere with people's wills. That's one agreement, from what I understand, what I've read about from other people, is that we made a pact, an agreement with our mother and father God, that we would try to do their mission that they gave us. And make no mistake, we stood before our mother and father God, or mother and or father God, at one time in the spirit world as spirits, and we're given a mission to perform, to help make the world a better place, to evolve ourselves and other people, because we're all in this together. We are all one. Kind of like if you took a big plate, a huge plate, and broke it, and you have all these hundreds of pieces, and then put it back together again. That's what we are. We're pieces of the whole, little bits of the creator of the universe, with that light in our soul, a little spark, if you will. The creator of the universe commanded the four forces in the beginning at the Big Bang. The first force was the force that created all the planets and the suns and the moons. The second force created all the animal and plant life on those planets. The third force created all the different sentient life, all those ETs out there that may be listening to me right now and know I'm right. And they are so intelligent. I mean, we had a face-to-face encounter with them. It really would hypnotize us, my friends, unless you are a very advanced soul with a lot of past lives under your belt. We would be mesmerized by an encounter with ETs, especially the ones who know how to traverse the universe in a very quick fashion, or able to go several times the speed of light and even faster and travel interdimensionally, and have been in existence for many, sometimes hundreds of millions of years, longer than we have. Have a face-to-face encounter with one of them and look into their eyes, and it might freak us out. It'd be like being hit by an M1 tank, if you will. Maybe not a good example, but powerful, a very powerful encounter. Yet, you would also notice, I think, at the same time that these beings are extremely loving, just like the mother and father God are and the creator of the universe. I'm going to take a drink. Back to heaven. I was saying that there's a book written called Paradise, the Holy City, and the Glory of the Throne. If you're really serious about learning about heaven, please get that book, Paradise, the Holy City, and the Glory of the Throne, by the Reverend Elwood Scott. I don't believe in everything it says, because one has to look at the interpretation of the individual in regard to everything that they talk about. And me having the benefit of much knowledge and reading a lot of other books in the past and researching the subject very deeply, I know that most of what he says in that book is true. And then there are other good books on heaven by, for example, by the Reverend Jesse DePlantis, who has a church in New Orleans, if I'm not mistaken. And he's an amazing man. God bless him, please. Paradise, the Holy City, and the Glory of the Throne will give you an idea, as I have explained, of what to expect when you get to heaven. And that is the intelligent thing to do, my friends, when you have the time, and you should make time. There's plenty of time during the course of a regular day for you to invest a little time in the development of your soul and your spirit. That's why we're here, actually. No other reason than to develop ourselves spiritually and to evolve our souls. So why not learn about where you came from? That's the challenge of this school. Even though we can't remember, and we're meant not to remember, but we can willingly, by the power of our wills, discover everything that we are made to forget. And heaven is, as I mentioned, like earth, angels everywhere, happy, joyful souls picking up where I left off, walking around with a song on their lips and laughter and love with all the people they meet. You don't have to worry about bodily fluids. You don't have to worry about sleeping, although rest is encouraged. When you get to heaven, it's kind of mandatory, what I understand. And the activities are very much ongoing, especially around the throne room. And that is an incredible place to be, my friends. The throne room of the Mother and Father God, and also Jesus who died on the cross, Jesus of Bethlehem, two separate Jesuses, which if you want to, it's a long story and I don't have a lot of time, but if you want to read about it, read the book Abduction to the Ninth Planet. It will tell you who Christ really was. But there in the throne room, you've got the redeemed. It's like a, it's called the Sea of Glass. It's a huge, huge floor in front of the throne where there's lots of music going on and dancing. There's a lot of joy, as I mentioned, going on in heaven. All these people that may have lived thousands of years ago are there, but they haven't already reincarnated and gone to another planet somewhere, or maybe even come back to planet Earth. But who wants to? Who would want to come back to planet Earth, my friends? A planet of war and killing, a Category 1 planet? You did your time here, and unless you murdered somebody or raped a woman, which is almost as bad and sometimes even worse than murder, and according to some civilizations, then you'll want to move on to a higher category of evolution planet. Category 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, even 6, 7. A Category 9 planet is the closest thing to heaven in the material universe, where there is such peace and harmony going on. The beings there, their eyes are just so beautiful. That shows the intelligence of their beings. Like the planet Thyuba mentioned in the Abduction to the Ninth Planet. These are hermaphrodite, transgender, if you will, extraterrestrials, 9 feet tall. Just as intelligent as any other being in the universe, because they've reached the highest level of evolution with their beautiful interdimensional spaceships. They go everywhere and are the guardians of the galaxy, of our Milky Way galaxy, one of the three most technologically and spiritually developed in our galaxy. And they have control, not control, but they have guardianship of our planet, as well as some other planets too, in the Milky Way galaxy. And so they've been monitoring and observing our planet for thousands of years. They have intervened in our past. Moses, for example, back then, the parting of the Red Sea. How do you think that happened? Do you have a logical explanation? Do you have any explanation as to how? Do you think it was because of the staff that he had? Well, think again. Do you think it was the staff? No, there's no some fantasy power that you can't logically explain. Very simply, it was a spaceship up above. And Mount Sinai, their spaceship there also, the thunder and the lightning, all that was extraterrestrial propulsion systems back then, which were a little different all those thousands of years ago, from what I understand. It could have been other species of extraterrestrials visiting the Earth at that time. There have been many different species visiting Earth, but these extraterrestrials from Thyuba, the beautiful ETs from that incredible world, a Category 9 planet, where, just to give you a little bit more knowledge on what it looks like there, the atmosphere is unpolluted. The air and the water is clean and pristine and pure. Animals don't eat each other. There are animals, some of the animals that are here on Earth are there. Hippos, cows, horses, giraffes, dogs, lions. But I'm not sure about lions, actually. But trees that are hundreds of feet into the air, birds, beautiful birds, everything's more colorful there too, more intense, the colors are more intense. If you and I were to be transported there right now in a spaceship and get out and look around, we couldn't withstand the brilliance of the light of the atmosphere of that planet. We wouldn't have to wear a mask. Changing the subject back to heaven, talk about the brilliance of a light. Some spirits, as I mentioned, you shine with a level of intensity. Your soul, if I was to look at your soul right now, your spirit, or if anyone were to, if you were to pop out of your physical body, for lack of a better way of putting it, so we could look at your soul and your spirit, you would shine with a light. And sometimes that light is not as bright as others. Sometimes it's brighter than others. But when you get to heaven, you'll notice that, as I mentioned, there's spirits walking around with different levels of light intensity. And especially that is noticeable in the throne room. Our mother and father God are spirits that are huge, as big as a two-story house, because they're growing all the time. And we grow. That's one thing we do. We grow in heaven. Our spirits grow. You could have a small spirit or a big spirit, depending on your level of evolution. There in the throne room, there's angels flying around overhead, different types of angels. There's the cherubims, the ones with the faces, like the four different faces, the eagle, the ox, the human face, and also the eagle, ox, human, and there's one other face, because there's four faces, the lion, that's it. Some have four faces. Some have just one, some have two. Cherubims, very powerful angels that are given special missions by the Mother and Father God to perform, either here on earth or there in heaven. Greatly revered angels, as archangels everywhere, very huge angels with very large wingspans flying around. And then there's the seraphims that are on fire and are so bright to very hard to look at. They are so bright. And then there's ordinary angels. And you have to be able to withstand that scenario, that scene there in the throne room. You have to be able to withstand the glory and the brilliance. I've mentioned this before on previous shows, of that light which washes over you. And unless you are able to withstand it, you can't stay long in that environment. Sometimes you might even have to prostrate yourself on the ground because the light is too bright. It's like a hurricane force wind, if I could compare it with anything. And the activities there in the throne room are many. If you asked it, let's say you had a conversation with the Father God, and you stood before the Father God and looked into his spirit, this huge spirit. He's probably got a beard. Very beautiful, well-defined body. Maybe he has a robe, but some parts of his body you can see. Very muscular, because we want to look the best that we can possibly look, right? A lot of muscular definition there in the shoulders and the chest and the arms and eyes. Beautiful, but also terrifying eyes. Eyes of love, of knowledge, of wisdom. A face marked with authority, but also kindness. Who knows all about you, every single thing that you've done in your life and in your past lives. The creator of the universe is omniscient. The Father God and the Mother God, too, are also omniscient, perhaps not in the same level as the creator of the universe, who knows everything about the universe, where as our Mother and Father God, our co-creator gods. We can be like the creator, but we can't be the creators. We'll never be like the creator, but we can be, That's why the creator in the beginning, along with the creation of the physical universe, one solar system and one galaxy at a time, also had a plan so that the third force, as I mentioned, was the creation of sentient beings throughout the universe. And in our Milky Way, in the Intergalactic Federation of Sovereign Planets, there are approximately 27,000 different species. But there are many, many more, millions possibly, in the Milky Way galaxy and throughout the universe of other beings, and some who are just beginning their evolution, others that are very more advanced in their evolution, that have been, as I mentioned, in existence for hundreds of millions of years and even billions of years. So we're kind of like the new kids on the block. You've heard that before. And it will be so incredibly beautiful to be in front of the mother or father God, and or, I think they're together. Logically, Father God would want a woman by his side. Anybody want to disagree with that? If you're a man, a male spirit, you'll still want a female at your side. And make no mistake, Father God is a spirit, a male spirit. And male spirits automatically attract to female spirits. We are predominantly one more than the other, either more male or more female. And you see, even here on Earth, spirits being born into the bodies of the opposite sex, otherwise known as gay people. Most of them are that way. I've noticed I can spot them very easily, and I respect them because it's a very difficult mission for them to come here, and especially in the recent past, all that they've had to endure from public criticism, people not understanding who they are. Because imagine, if you will, my friends, you're a predominantly male spirit being born into a female body, or a female spirit being born into a male body. Then how would do you express your sexuality? It's not easy. It's a very difficult mission. So I respect and love all those spirits because they do it for the reasons they do it for. That is to help make the world a more loving place, a more tolerant and patient place. Tolerance and patience will be the saving grace of this world so that we don't destroy ourselves. And I pray always that we will learn to love each other, my friends, for our children and for our children's children down the road, many generations. If we really love our children, then we will learn to love each other, the different cultures, different races throughout the world, there in the Middle East, in China, in Russia. Look at the children of those countries. How much different are they from us, looking at the children of all those different countries? We see, like in the Olympics and the Paralympics about to start next week, people from different countries getting together and competing. And competing is a good way, I think, of getting to love each other, understand and love each other, and have conversations and share ideas and just communicate and interact. But competition, in a way, can be depressing, especially if you lose, right? Naturally, we want to win. That feeling is intense, the feeling of having won, but also the feeling of losing is just as intense for the other people. So there is a better way. Excuse me. Can I take a drink? Excuse me. There is a better way, my friends. And love is the key. A sense of cooperation, doing things together, looking beyond our daily petty conflicts to a universe that's out there that is so incomprehensibly large, to those other civilizations that we know exist out there. If all this life here on Earth happened by accident, logically, it could happen by accident anywhere. But if there is a creator, and I know there is, I know that there is a supreme creator that initiated everything, and we wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for that creator. There would be nothing. Nothing. Well, I've got 1 minute, my friends. So let me wish you a happy week coming up. May the creator of the universe bless us and keep us safe and well. Please be careful. Please say your prayers. Say your prayers. Look up into the evening sky. Say a prayer to the creator of the universe. I love you. Thank you for listening, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.